Good morning. Such a beautiful morning to be out this morning. I love to be out in weather like this. It speaks to me. I'd like to speak to us this morning about something that the Lord started talking to me about in the middle of the week. And it concerns some scriptures that I have been some of those that I've looked over and kind of bypassed in a way. Not that I didn't believe them, but didn't understand them. And I believe that every word of God is true, but there are plenty of places in the Bible that I look at and I say, I don't know. I just don't know. Don't know what that means. Probably be that way till I die. But the Lord came to me in the middle of the week, and I wasn't even expecting it, and started dealing with me about some of these scriptures that I've said I don't know about. Like to look at them this morning. Maybe we could start in Luke chapter 11. I'd sure appreciate it if you pray for me. I'd like to talk about asking, seeking, and knocking this morning. So in Luke chapter 11, we have a story that you can find the parallel place where this is told in Matthew, the 6th and the 7th chapters. But here it kind of puts several. The Lord's Prayer is in Matthew, I believe, the 6th chapter. And then when he said, ask and it shall be given you, is in the 7th chapter. But in here in Luke 11, it puts them both in the same place. And that's how I'd like to read it this morning. Luke 11 and verse 1 came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Wouldn't that be something to hear the Lord Jesus Christ pray? How do you think, what kind of word do you think he said? And not only, there's a lot we can get from this, from these verses. But the disciples said, I guess they were listening to him praying. And they realized that they didn't really know how to pray like that. Maybe they didn't really hardly even know how to pray at all. I don't know. But they said, Lord, would you teach us how to do that? And, you know, there's many ways that we can pray. And there's a lot of ways that people do pray today. And I think that there are ways that people pray that really don't do hardly a bit of good. Jesus talked about people that did that. He said, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. They have a form that they use, and they think that by doing it this way, they're going to be more effective in getting to reach God. They use repetitions. They do these things, and they have a way that they think they're going to get their prayers answered. And Jesus said, don't do it that way. So we know that there are different ways that we can pray. They're more effective than others. But it's not so much in the words that we say as it is in the condition of our hearts when we say it. So Jesus said, he said unto them, when ye pray, say, or in Matthew, I think it said, after this manner, pray ye. He wasn't saying to say these exact words, but this is the spirit in which he said to pray. When ye pray, say, Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I find it nearly impossible, from even a conscience standpoint, to just blaze through these verses really quickly and read them. We memorize them, we read them, but there's so much in there and they're of such great import that I like to read them slowly, try to absorb as much of it as I can. We're not going to do all of that, to absorb all of it this morning, but I'd like to focus really on one verse. And that's the verse, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Then after he got done reading the prayer, or telling them how to pray, he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.'" Can you imagine somebody coming to your house at midnight and say, and you get up and you ever heard the door knock late at night? I don't think I've ever had it happen in the house that we live in now. We have a gate, we lock it. But when I was growing up, we lived out on Airport Road and a lot of traffic goes through there. And I remember more than one instance where it was late, 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 and somebody knocked at the door. And when that happens, it's almost never good. One time it was a car wreck. Somebody had gotten in a car wreck and needed help. And I think one time it was somebody that was drunk. And there may have been another couple of times too. I remember several specific instances where somebody knocked on our door late. But if somebody knocked on the door and it was a friend, and I was like, "What in the world is going on? This is midnight. And been in bed for an hour and a half already, and get up out of bed. Come stumbling to the door, rubbing your eyes. What is the matter? Hey, how about a loaf of bread?" I think my first reaction would be to say, "Do you know what time it is, my friend?" You know, I thought maybe this was some sort of an emergency. You want a loaf of bread? You want 3 loaves of bread? No, you know what? And it says, "And he from within shall answer and say, 'Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.'" Or in other words, it's not the time for that anymore. You should have thought of that earlier. Why are you asking me for something like this? Don't you know it's the middle of the night? And he said, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." I looked that up, and what it means, it means because he's being troubled and he just wants to go back to sleep. And because of that, not because the guy's his friend, this guy's going to get up. You know what? He shouldn't have bothered me, but he's still over there knocking at the door. I can't go to sleep. I need to go to sleep. Got to get up at 6 o'clock and go to work. And so I'm going to give him 10 loaves. If he wants 10 loaves of bread and 5 pounds of beef, if that's what it takes to make him go away so I can go to sleep. That's what Jesus is saying. And I've wondered before, how does that connect with this? Why did Jesus tell this right after the Lord's Prayer? He goes on to say, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And in the parallel place, Matthew 7 and 11, it says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And so he was saying here, this guy that's got the loaves of bread that the man wants at midnight, the man that comes to get the bread, he gets the bread and he goes home. And the man doesn't even, he gets what he needs. And the man's not even the man's not even what you would maybe necessarily call a righteous man. And he's not even doing it for a righteous reason. If this person gets, if he gets his way, if he's able to get what he needs just because somebody's tired and does it so that he'll go away, and you don't even think that God, that you'll be able to get the things that you need from a holy and loving somebody that loves unconditionally and infinitely, that God won't even give you that much. You can come to him and you can say, Lord, I need this. And the Lord's not tired and he's not in bed and trying to get some rest. The situation is if you can go and get bread from somebody that all the only reason he does it is to get you to go away so that he can get his sleep, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the things to us that we need? Sometimes we expect so little and look for so little from the hand of God. And we get in these messes and all these situations and we expect so little from God. And we look for so little. I want to tell you that we have an awesome privilege today. We've got a God that is able to supply us abundantly with everything that we could need. That everything that we need. Everything that we could ask or think. What's that in there, a scripture that says that he is able to give us abundantly more than we could ever ask or think? I don't know where that scripture is, but I know it's there. I read it not too long ago. And then he goes on to say, you who have children, even you all, sinful people, you'll give things to your children when they need them. Your Father in heaven is a whole lot more holy and righteous than you are. And don't you think that he's going to give you what you need? And yet we spend so much time being so worked up because we don't have what we need. And we don't know how we're going to get it. We don't know where it's going to come from. Oh, I've got this situation coming up. I see it down the road. It's not just my daily bread, but it's, you know, I need wisdom for this situation. I need understanding. Or I've got a situation coming with my work and I don't know how I'm going to face the people at the job because it's going to be so uncomfortable and I don't know how I'm going to muster the courage. God's got all that. He's got grace. Isn't the scripture says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Then it says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus told another story that's similar about a judge that didn't fear God and he didn't regard man. Didn't care about anything in either words. You know what he cared about? He cared about getting bribes, getting money. He cared about making sure he was taken care of in this life. That's a bad sort of person to have as a judge, don't you think? But this is who he was. And Jesus said, a widow came to him and said, avenge me, I need something. I'm in desperate need. And it said, and Jesus said he would not for a while. I'm guessing he wouldn't because she didn't come with her pocket full of money to give him. I don't know, but Jesus didn't say, but I'm guessing that he was looking for, you know, you got to pay to play. You're going to have to pay if you're going to get the result that you need. And she didn't have this. She was trying to survive, and she came to him. You're my only hope. And so after a while, he said, I don't care about what's fair. I don't do things without getting a bribe. But I'm tired of this lady coming to me, and so I'm going to give her what she needs. We don't serve a God like that. We serve a God about whom Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And if that widow woman can get what she needs from a judge who doesn't care about anything, how much more is your Father in heaven going to give you the things that you need? It's ridiculous for us to be so worked up in life. But we do. We have a tendency to get this way. I don't know what's going to happen. Don't know what I'm going to do and all that. Now I want to ask you something. Why does God want us to ask? I want to zero in on the verse, "Give us day by day our daily bread." Do you think that the Lord doesn't know that we need our daily bread? This is what we need. Now, the Lord, the scripture in Philippians 4, I think, and 19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." It doesn't have anything to do with educating God. There are different reasons why God wants us to ask him. It's an exercise of faith. When we come to him and we say, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread." You don't even have to say it in those words. Jesus said, "After this manner, pray ye. Lord, I need things from you today." There's a scripture in James, the first chapter, that says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given you." If you go to the very previous chapter, James was scolding the people because of the way that they were asking. And he said, "You have not because you ask not." That tells me that there are things that many times we don't get because we don't ask. And there are things that we could have had. Things that I believe that we need to make it through. But we don't ask. Well, why don't we ask? Why would we ask? You know, when you go to somebody and ask them for something, you're acknowledging that they're the provider of it and that you're the one that needs it. Many people in life are so confident in what they can do and their own abilities. They go out and they have this drive, and they get out and they make a way for themselves. In reality, they don't, but they think they do. Because our very breath comes from the Lord. But if you get up in the morning and you say, "Lord, supply my needs today. I need to eat. I need to be sustained. I have things that I need. I need some wisdom. I didn't do so good dealing with my children yesterday. Lord, I need to do better today. Lord, will you please help me?" When we do that, we're acknowledging that God is the one that has those things. And that if he doesn't give it to us, we're not going to get it. I'll tell you what else it does. It is submission to God's way of giving us what we need. The Lord has different ways that he provides our needs. And it's not many times going to be the way that we would have picked. And it's also resigning ourselves to be content with what he provides. See, when we go and we try to do things in our own strength and in our own way, we have an idea of what we get is how what we get, what it's going to look like, what it's going to be like, how it's going to be. But when we go to the Lord and say, "Lord, give me what I need," then when we get what we need, and we realize that it's from the Lord, and the way that we got it is from the Lord, then we say, "Thank you, Lord," and we're content. And we realize, we talked last Sunday about that the Lord wants us to be able to look backwards and say, right was the pathway leading to this. I needed this. So the scripture says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Then, and upbraideth not, doesn't scold you because you didn't have it, because he knew you didn't have it. He created you without it, and it shall be given him. But then it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And so when we ask the Lord, "Lord, I need things. Give me my daily bread. Give me the wisdom that I need today." Then we are coming to him, not only acknowledging that he's our provider, but we're believing that he's going to come through and that he's going to give me what he promised. It says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So it's not this begging like maybe a small child might do. "Please, please, please, can I have this? Lord, can I have this? Just give this to me." No, we come and we have confidence toward God. And we say, "Lord, this is what I need." I hope this is making sense, because I have a whole lot more that I want to, a lot of places I want to go here. We're just getting started. Remember this last Sunday, we read the scripture about when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. And he said, "At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you." If you go to the next chapter, John 15 and 7. He said, "If ye abide in me." We talked last Sunday about abiding in Jesus. I'd like to speak a little bit more about that this morning. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." This is one of the verses that I didn't understand. Didn't know really. It just kind of seemed a little bit far-fetched. It's not that I believe that there was part of the Bible or part of Jesus' words even that were just not true. But I didn't understand it. And the Lord began to open this up to me this week. If you go back to the previous chapter, he said first in John 14 and 12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now there are a lot of places in the world, in the Christian world today, quote unquote, where they say, they use these scriptures in a way that is really abusive to the scripture. And they say that if you want a new car or anything that you want, then if you have a connection with God, then you can go and you can say, "I want this. Lord, give me this." And we call that the health and wealth prosperity gospel or that kind of thing. This is not anything, it doesn't have anything to do with this scripture. The scripture doesn't have anything to do with it. In fact, in James chapter 4 that we've already referenced from, he said, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. And so Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. And so coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, this is what I want, involves more than just thinking, oh, that would be nice, and then saying, well, I hope I get this, so I'm going to ask the Lord. You know, there are things that we can do, but there are several different ways that we can ask the Lord for something, and they're not all wrong. Paul had an affliction or something, and he said, I besought the Lord three times, and the Lord chose not to take it away, because he said, it's my will, my grace is sufficient for you. And then he said, most gladly, therefore, will I glorify in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what he was doing? He was getting the mind of God. This is what it's talking about when it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. The Lord wants to be able to give us his mind about certain things, where we can come to the realization, I need this. We can come to the realization, I need more wisdom. Come to the realization, I'm broken in this area. I'm emotionally broken here. I have a spiritual problem here, and I don't know how to fix it. It goes a lot farther than just asking the Lord for what I'm going to eat today. The Lord brings things. He wants to bring things to our realization that I need this, that I have a need. And when he does that, we can rest assured that every legitimate need that we have, it is the Lord's will that we get that need satisfied. He might not do it in the way that we think he ought to, and he might not do it right away. I had a need in my body. A few years ago, and went to Monarch with it, and it was a serious thing. It really limited me. And I went to Monarch, and they had a time where people would come down and the ministers would pray for them, the healing service, and I went down there. And I didn't really know what to expect. But I went down there, and they anointed me like the scripture says to do. And they prayed for me. And while they were praying, I felt a change in my body right then. And at the same time, all my pain went away. I had a lot of pain. And it all went away. And at the same time, I had a scripture that came very strongly to my mind that said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Then I got up and I went back out. And the pain and all that slowly returned through the day. And you know, I have heard this taught in a way before. If this kind of thing happens to you, you need to claim your healing, and you need to. Folks, I knew that the Lord was trying to tell me something, but I also knew that I wasn't healed right then. And I began to pray, Lord, what is your will? This is what the Lord wants us to do, is to get to the place where we know what his will is. And I began to seek the Lord. You know what he did? He started talking to me about an area in my life where I had another need. Not a physical need, but it was a spiritual need. And he started talking to me about that. And I said, Lord, I have this need. If you will help me, I'm going to conquer this giant. And you know, the Lord began helping me with that. And I got victory in that area. And then you know what the Lord did? I got better. I still deal with a little bit of the problem. I don't know if that's because the Lord still has things to do. But the Lord took away. I was able to work again. I was able to gain. I'd lost so much weight. I was in pain. And the Lord helped me to be able to get back to nearly normal. He said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. I didn't really know what the will of God was for me at that time. If he wanted to take everything away instantly. But I came and I presented my need before him. And he made me well. But he didn't make me well in the way that I expected or wanted. Instead, he took what felt like to me a long time to do it. Because that was in July, and I didn't start getting better until the middle of September. I lost a lot more work, missed a lot more work. But the Lord had things to teach me and a path to take me on. Similarly, one time I asked the ministers to pray that I'd get more wisdom. And one of the older ones looked at me and said, the Lord will give you more wisdom. But he's not just going to drop it in your lap. He's going to lead you on a path that will teach you the wisdom that you need. And so when we go to the Lord and we say, give us this day our daily bread, we can go to him in full confidence that the Lord is going to supply that need. But we need to do it with the understanding that whatever the path is that the Lord has for us to get there, whatever way the Lord satisfies that need, we need to accept. We may go to the Lord and insist, Lord, I have this need. I need to be healed in this area. And over here we have some other needs that we've kind of, I don't want to deal with that right now. I have this need over here I don't want to deal with. Or maybe we deny it, or maybe we don't even realize it. And the Lord brings to our attention through this need over here, the needs over there. And says, I want to make you aware of this. Because the Lord wants us to be whole in every way. Sometimes we want to be whole in this area, but we deny that we're not whole in this area. And the Lord wants us to be able to serve Him in an effective way. Now I'd like to go a little farther. Well, He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what does it mean to abide in Christ and for His words to abide in us? And how can we ask something in His name? This scripture goes a whole lot deeper than just tacking the words in Jesus' name onto the end of whatever fantastic prayer we just prayed. This has to do with abiding in the Lord, where we have taken, it says in, this scripture came to my attention in 2 John a few weeks ago, and I've been thinking about this and reading it. Whosoever, in 2 John, the 9th verse, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Maybe we can make this a little clearer. Let's go to 1 John. The third chapter. 1 John 3 and 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. But beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if we abide in him, it says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And so what's that saying, in other words, is that if our conscience pricks us about something, we can't just shove that to the side and say, well, Lord, I've got this relationship with you. Let's forget about this over here right now and talk about this. This is what I need. This is what I want you to help me with. I've got this relationship with God, and I pray in church and I sing and I do all these things and I have these things over here, but I'm going to kind of push them aside. And I'm going to carry on my work for God over here, but I'm going to, you know, these things over here, I'll deal with these another time. No, when we have, it says, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. This is what it means when it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. That means that I have a clear relationship with God. There's nothing that's standing in the way between me and God. There's nothing that I didn't cheat somebody in a business deal over here, and that thing's just kind of in the way. My heart's clear. Now, there are things that the Lord can bring up. It doesn't mean that I've been perfect in every way. It means that I've walked to all the light that I know. I am living to all the understanding that the Lord has showed me. When we do that, we don't have to worry about what if I'm doing something wrong and I don't know it. Or what if I'm following the wrong interpretation of a scripture here and don't know it. If we are in all honesty walking to all the light that we have, and we are constantly seeking for more light and for more understanding and more of Jesus, then he can abide in you, and you can abide in him, and his words can abide in you. And it says that if you do that, then we have confidence toward God. And then it says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. In the 5th chapter of 1 John, 14th verse, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so when we come into a situation where we have a need, you know what we ought to do? Instead of just asking the Lord to basically, Lord, this problem's in my life. Lord, take it away. Lord, would you just take it away? Instead of doing that, ask the Lord, Lord, I have this need. Help me to know what your will is. And be confident that if you're honest, the Lord will help you to know. The Lord has done that for me and helped me to understand things. See, when I went to Monarch, I had that need. But the Lord had some things that he wanted to deal with me about. And so he used that need in my body to talk to me about the needs in my soul. What do you think would have happened if I would have said, Lord, let's not talk about that right now. That's off topic. Will you please heal my body? The Lord has things that he wants to work. The Lord wants us to be whole. And sometimes we have spiritual needs that are greater than some of the other needs that we think we have, and that we may really have. And the Lord wants to use those things. So he says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Well, if we want to ask things that are according to his will, then this is part of what it means to abide in him. We need to be asking the Lord, Lord, what is your will? If we're sick, we need to know, Lord, what is your will? What do you have for me in this? What do you have if I'm praying for somebody else? Lord, what is your will in this? What do you want to get out of this? What's available? Is there something that needs to be taken care of? Now, if we continue on in James 5, he said in the 14th verse of James 5, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. And so he said, is there anybody that's sick? Call for the elders of the church. Let them pray. And it says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. I'm going to talk about the experience that I had a little bit more. You know, I wasn't raised up right then. It was something it was a process. A lot of times we're not willing to wait for the process. And we think, well, this needs to happen right now. But he said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, I'd like to hold that scripture and read another one. Let's see. He said, and I'll just read this without turning to it. In Mark 11 and 24, wherefore I say unto you, that whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So if you go back to the James, the 5th chapter, it says, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Then it says, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. I wonder how many times there have been things that have been available to people, whether it was healing or other difficulties, and the availability, it was God's will that those things be taken care of. And because people were not able or willing to humble themselves and to confess I had an attitude against you and I'm sorry, or I did this and I'm sorry, or whatever. I don't know how many times the Lord looks and shakes his head, so to speak, and says, I'm trying to get this through to you. And again, I've said this before, but the Lord doesn't try in that, you know, I hope this will work. The Lord knows exactly where, but he gives you a choice. The Lord will send things. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. If our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And so many times I believe that in these places of need, our responsibility is to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what's the availability? I have this need. Are there other needs that are hindering this? Deal with me about how I've been interacting with others in my life. Do I have some unfinished business? Do I have an apology that I need to make? Do I have something that I need to make restitution for? Do I need to confess something that I've done against somebody that's hurt them? We have to be careful in those things, because there are some things that's just between you and the Lord. And didn't, even if you had maybe a thought against somebody else, it'll cause more trouble if you tell them about it. If it didn't affect them or anything, you might need to just leave it with the Lord. But this is talking about things that have gotten in the way, things that have been a stumbling block to somebody, or an offense or something like that, something where the other person is actually involved. And sometimes we may have to have the Lord to help us to know that too. It says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. And then it says the prayer, well, before that it says the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. This prayer of faith has nothing to do with gritting your teeth and praying as hard as you can and saying, I know that the Lord, if I can just pray hard enough and if I can say the right words, the Lord is going to take care of this need. No, the prayer of faith means that I have a confidence. The Lord has revealed His will to me. I know what's available. I'm going to pray in confidence that the Lord is going to supply this need. And there may be some conditions on this. There may be conditions that have to be met, but the availability is there. And this is what happened to me. I had this when I got prayed for. I had the Lord witness to me that the availability for the Lord to touch me in my body was there, and that it was the Lord's will. But there were some things that the Lord wanted me to come to the place in my life where I said, Lord, I have this need, and Lord, I'm willing to fix it. And then after I began to work on that, and the Lord gave me victory, and I fought that battle, then the Lord helped me out in my body. So the Lord wants to help us in those ways. I hope this is making sense this morning. In Matthew 18, Jesus said again in 18 and 19, again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And this is an indication of how much the Lord wants us to be in unity with each other. Remember what the scripture says about what fellowship is? Fellowship is not when a whole bunch of people all happen to feel the same way about any particular issue. We have lots of different clubs and groups and parties and things like that. But true fellowship is when two people are abiding in Jesus Christ and His words are abiding. And then they can come together and one person says, you know, I see this need. And the other one says, I see it too. And they both agree and they say, Lord, there's this need. We're coming to you in bold confidence that you hear us. We have clear consciences as far as we know. Lord, will you please? We are agreeing and we are asking you to remedy this situation. And it may take some fasting and some time. But I want to tell you that I believe many times we live far below our privilege, in that we will go to the Lord and we'll just throw these requests out. Lord, help me with this. And Lord, help me with that. I want to tell you that the Lord wants us to be aware of what some needs are. It doesn't mean that everything that we say has to know. Jesus Himself, one time he prayed and He said, Father, if it be possible, Can we do this another way? If there's any way that's possible, but even in that, he was completely submissive to the will of God. He said, Lord, the only way that I want this to work is if your plan can work anyway. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And we can go, if Jesus did that, I can. And we can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I have this trial that I'm dealing with. Lord, if there's any way you can take it from me, then I wish you'd do it. But what I want more than anything else is for your will to be done. And when we submit ourselves to God like that, we can have a confidence, even if we don't know exactly what the Lord's will is in that situation, we can have a confidence if we pray about it that the Lord will bring about the very best thing. I want you to remember that the scripture says you have not because you ask not. And so I believe that many times we just don't ask. And the things that we ask for, we're not submissive to the will of God. Well, Lord, I'd like this. Will you give this to me? And yeah, we can ask the Lord for some things sometimes. But in that, you know, Lord, I have before. Lord, you know, it would sure be nice if you would work this out. And the Lord would work it out. But we always need to be submissive to the will of God. But I believe that there are other things that are besides that where the Lord can reveal to us what's available. And when He does, we need to pray what's called the prayer of faith. And that means that when we know the will of the Lord and we're abiding in the Lord and where our hearts are clear, then we can go to Him in full expectation that He's going to do the work. Maybe not in the way that we thought. Maybe not in the time period that we would imagine. And we can leave it with Him. These scriptures, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them that says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive Him. Receive them and you shall have them. Then we know that we have the petitions that we desire. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And Jesus said, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. The key here is to really ask for things in His name. And that means that we abide in Christ and His words abide in us. And then we can go in full confidence. It's that confidence that the Lord wants us to have in Him. So I hope that is an encouragement and a challenge to us this morning. Paul said that he went one time, and we already mentioned this, but he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And he besought the Lord thrice. And you know what the Lord did for him? The Lord didn't just leave him hanging. But the Lord said, no, this is My will. And then Paul said, well, that's not a need anymore. I'm not going to consider it to be a need. Well, I'm going to glory in this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Or in other words, that I may abide in Jesus Christ. I want to abide in Him. I want His words to abide in me. I want to be able to have a knowledge of the will of God. We're not going to know the will of God in every situation, but in many situations, I believe that if we ask and we seek and we knock, the Lord's going to give us an answer. And then when He gives us an answer, it might require some faith to be able to pray and have confidence that the Lord's going to perform that which He promised. So, may the Lord help us. We need to be careful about how we pray. When we pray, it's okay to pray for things that we don't know that what God's will is, and to ask the Lord, Lord, have mercy on this situation. But we always need to be praying that the Lord will help us to know His will and be willing to do some fasting about it. May the Lord be with us. You pray for me.